Well, we made it. We made it. This is the final week of our Disciple Sermon Series, which, as you probably gathered by now, is about discipleship. And as a quick refresher, let's go over some things here. First, the word for disciple is a learner who follows a master teacher. In contrast to our current Western era, learning in Jesus' time was very relational and holistic. Discipleship meant much more than just the transfer of information. It referred to imitating the teacher's life, inculcating his values, and reproducing his teachings. Christian discipleship connotes a relationship with a master teacher, following them and adhering to their way of life. And after we accept the invitation to follow Jesus, we enter into a lifelong journey and relationship with him. Learning, growing, failing, forgiving, and loving others as he taught us to love. It can be an incredibly difficult process at times, to be sure, but make no mistake, it's worth every bit of it. And one of the greatest responsibilities and privileges of following Jesus is sharing him with others. As Matthew 5:15 says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. I mean, how many here remember the song, This Little Light of Mine, right? Even adults sing it. This little light of mine, I will let it shine, right? Not going to hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it shine. Because when you hide it, guess what? It only emits light in that small covered space. It doesn't let it shine brightly throughout, right? And the light of Christ and the warmth of the gospel were meant for everyone. Now, our main passage for the day comes from Matthew 28. And you may have heard it called the Great Commission before. We're going to go ahead and read it now. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the final instruction given by Jesus Christ to his disciples, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. It's a directive that serves as a roadmap for every believer's journey. The Great Commission is not merely a suggestion. It's not, well, you can go ahead and do this. You don't really have to, but I'm recommending it, right? No, it's not merely a suggestion, or it's not an optional task that Jesus hands out here for the followers of Christ. It's a divine mandate, a divine mandate, a sacred duty that every Christian is expected to carry out. And I just want to point out here, he did not say, pastors of the churches, this is for you. Does it say that in there? Does it say that the pastor is the one who is to go ahead and spread the gospel? No, it didn't say that. He's been given the authority. He's speaking to each one of us. He's speaking to his followers. Now, as the late Tim Keller said, discipleship is not an option. It is not an option. Jesus says that if anyone would come after me, he must follow me. And following Jesus includes humble submission to his authority and his teaching. When Christ says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, we're reminded that the mission we're called to undertake is not based on human authority or wisdom, but on the divine authority of Christ. This authority is what empowers us to go forth and make disciples of all nations. See, if Christ has given the green light, if he's given us the green light, then who can hold us back? Who? Making disciples is at the heart of the Great Commission, which is why Jesus says, go therefore and make disciples. Go, that's a command, right? And make disciples. Two commands. Go and make disciples. But what does it mean to make disciples? What does it mean to make disciples? Is it more than just converting people to Christianity? It involves nurturing them in their faith, helping them grow spiritually, and equipping them to live out their faith in their daily lives. It's about reproducing followers of Christ who are committed to living according to his teachings and commands. Now, this process of discipleship is a lifelong journey. Lifelong journey. Does that mean I'm finished? No, I haven't graduated. I'll graduate when I go to heaven. That's graduation day. I haven't graduated. I'm still being discipled. It's a process. It's a lifelong process, a lifelong journey that requires patience. Oh, it does. It requires patience because, you know, we're into this. We want instantaneous stuff, right? I mean, look at our fast food places. We want our food. We want it now, right? They even have timers at McDonald's because I've seen them. They got timers and how fast their services and how fast they get the order out, right? This is a lifelong process. You need to have patience, okay? And dedication. dedication, being dedicated to learning, to being discipled, okay? And a deep love for God and for others. It's a full body, mind, and soul experience. Now, baptism is another crucial aspect of the Great Commission, and it follows the command to go and make. It's a public declaration of one's faith in Christ and a symbolic representation of the believer's identification with Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. Baptism is not just a ritual. It's a powerful act of obedience that signifies a believer's commitment to follow Christ wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly. What does that mean? With everything that you are and that you have. Submitting to Him, surrendering your will for His. Now I want to ask here, who here's been baptized before? All been baptized, okay? You haven't been baptized? Oh man, we will work on you. Baptism. No, so baptism is important. I've been baptized. I was baptized as a Catholic when I was a teenager. And then, of course, a lot of you that know my testimony, I fell away. Really didn't understand anything I was being taught back then. And not a whole lot about Jesus. And so then later on in life, I was baptized again in a lake in Soldotna, and it was cold out. It was August, cold and rainy, but the water was so warm. I loved it. And it was a great experience. Me and this other guy got baptized in the same day. And so, but it was an awesome experience, a time to give my testimony, a time to share with others, a time to testify how God had transformed me, what He did in my life. And so baptism is so important. And it's not the person be baptized, of course, it signifies dying to sin and being raised to new life. Okay? Get dunked, dying to sin, and coming up, being raised to new life. And so there's a lot of symbolism there. And there's the other thing is it's not only good for the person, but the biggest thing is everybody that is there watching and taking part in this is receiving a testimony. And not always is everyone there saved. So you don't know how God is going to use you in that moment. Because it's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about the one that's getting baptized. Okay? It's what God is going to do through that whole thing. Of baptism, what He's going to do with the testimony, how He's going to reach others. That's the importance. That's the real important thing. I mean, go back to when Jesus was baptized, right? And everything that happened when He came up out of the water. And God was loved His Son. He was thankful. He was grateful for his son. And the dove came down. I mean, all of that, it's amazing. You know, and finally in this passage that we just read, there's a command to teach others to obey all that I have commanded. Jesus is speaking here, not me. Teaching is significant. But we're not just called to teach a simple list of rules, right? We're called to teach people to obey everything that Christ has commanded. This implies that our teaching should not just be about imparting knowledge, but about inspiring obedience and transformation. It's about helping people understand the teachings of Christ and empowering them to apply these teachings in their day-to-day lives. And this is not a task that we're expected to carry out on our own. Jesus promises to be with us always. He promises to be with us always, to the very end of the age. This promise of Christ assures us that we're not alone in our mission. You see, when we're out there in the world, right, and we come across somebody, we meet somebody, you know, we're not doing it out of our own strength. You see, when you ask Jesus to come into your life, you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's the Holy Spirit that's working in and through you that reaches. You're the tool that God is using. You're the instrument that He needs to be able to go and tell others about Him. We have to be fully surrendered in order to do that. Because if we're not fully surrendered in order to do that, guess what? The Holy Spirit can't do His work. Because our will gets in the way. Our fears get in the way. It's not God that's working in and through us to reach the hearts of those out there. So it's important to fully surrender. Fully surrender. Be submissive. Christ is with us every step of the way. He guides us. He strengthens us. And He empowers us to fulfill our calling. Now, you know, throughout my time, when I asked Jesus into my heart, you know, I had few people discipling me. In the beginning, it was the pastor, and of course, I had a lot of issues going on then. I was going through a divorce. Pretty bad. A lot of anger there. A lot of things being said. It's not good. And so God used that pastor in my life, and He used my friend, Alan, to help guide and disciple me, to teach me about God and who Jesus is, and how, when I fully surrender to His will, when I give everything to Him, then he's able to work in and through me to others. And that includes my testimony. God uses that. He uses it to reach other people. And so, you know, I remember there even there's other people that have discipled me, and I know Nanette's, she got discipled by somebody that we both know, that we both came to know, and we had friendships with, and they had been real dear friends of ours, and they're actually missionaries in Indonesia, and now, so they're, we haven't seen them. They come back every now and then, and sometimes we get to see them, sometimes we don't. That's okay. We know that God is working in and through them, as they know that God is working in and through us, and how we pray for one another. So the thing is, though, is they were very instrumental in our lives. When Nanette and I got married, we were still being discipled by people, by others. You know, it's. I don't know of anyone here, if you've been divorced before. I mean, both Nanette and I had previously been divorced. So, and that's not an easy thing to go through. It's not an easy thing to be able to let go and allow God to work in and through us with a new relationship and trust Him. A lot of old baggage. We had, you know, we not only had people discipling us, but then we had professional Christian counselors that were also ministering to us, ministering to our family, and discipling us in that way, you know, because we, you know, my friend, he was a good example of what a Christian marriage and a Christian family, how they operate and how they come together, how they pray together, they open the word together, they do things together. Not always, they invite people into their home, which is a good thing too, because they invited me all the time. I was always welcome there. And so it was a good thing. So, you know, even today, you know, there's things that happen. There's people that I run into that I can sit down and talk with openly and be able to share with them if I'm struggling with something, that they'll come up beside me and say, you know, the Lord has this. Of course He does. I know that. I do know that. But sometimes, you know, really, we need reminders. Sometimes we get these little blinders on, right? And we don't see anything else, right? We get so wrapped up in what's going on in our lives that, you know, many times I have to go back to my testimony. I have to go back to my calling. When God called me to preach, I've got this little thing on my desk with Jesus calling Peter, and it's a sculpture. You know, Peter the fisherman, it's got his boat and everything. He's calling Peter to come follow him. I have to be reminded. And I praise God that He's put these things in my life, these people in my life, to remind me that I'm His, that He has a purpose for my life. And I need to continue on with what He's called me to do. And so, you know, there's so many times that we run into obstacles, hard times, you know, but I praise God for friendships. You know, it's that it's almost like a kick in the pants, you know? But it's an encouraging kick in the pants. It's not a hurtful one. They do it out of love, right? And so sometimes we need that. Sometimes we need that, you know, kick in the pants. Say, get up and go do what I told you to do, what I commanded you to do. Making disciples and being an active participant in the Great Commission are not easy tasks. They're not. There's very real opposition to the mission and a very real enemy who doesn't want to see any believer come to mature and productive faith, let alone come to a point of reproduction. Let me give you an illustration of that. So y'all know that we had this event on Halloween that we were going to do with over there at the Aurora Fund Center. Of course, one thing after another. First, you know, it was 4 to 6, and they didn't have enough people signed up, so they canceled that part of it. Well, she lost my card, number one, so I didn't get contacted. So I had to, you know, I went over there to talk to her because I was getting something else from other people. And so I was like, I need to go over there and talk to her, find out what's going on, make sure we're on the same page here. But I'm amazed at how many times the enemy gets in there and says, oh, it ain't gonna happen. See what happened here? You know, you had a time slot 4 to 6. Now it's not happening. And he puts that discouragement in there, right? And then the next thing that happens, I hear, but they are having an event still. But it's from 6 to 11. Great. Then he comes in and says, yes, but I got you there too. Because you won't have any people. And I'm like, oh, no, you don't. I got me. And if I show up, you're defeated. If I show up, you're defeated. And so I gathered up all the candy, and thank you for all those that donated the candy, all the tracts, the life books, put them in the van. Nanette had a schedule. That was another thing that was thrown into the mix. Satan was doing his hardest to make sure that it didn't happen. She had a busy schedule. She had to go to a meeting in Fairbanks, had to be there, had to get back to take me to that, and then had to get back here for Celebrate Recovery. Man, he was working his hardest to get me to say I give up. But I didn't give up. Because I recognized what he was trying to do. I recognized what the enemy was trying to do was say, oh, I got you now. You're going to give up. Well, the old Brad may have done that. He might have said, well, forget it. No, I'm going to keep fighting. And the Lord is going to bring the victory because he has the victory. Amen? He has the victory. And so I went there, got this one area and got a game there. It was shooting these little ducks and stuff and got the bags open and everything of candy, filled a a big bag or something like that. I can't remember what I put the candy in, but had all the tracks there. Had about 30 kids. It was 25 to 30. I didn't count them. I didn't use a clicker or count them or anything like that. But it was about 25 to 30 kids that came through the area and got candy. I had kids ranging from the ages of probably as young as my granddaughter, Ellie, maybe 2 or 3 years old, all the way up to 15, 16, maybe 17 years old. It was great. It was a good time. Everybody, I talked to them. I talked to their parents. It was a great time building those relationships in the community. That's what needs to happen. And in the meantime, you know, Satan just kept going, trying to get in there. And I was like, because I know who has the victory. You don't. And that's the thing we need to remember. He has the victory. If you throw up your hands and say, oh, you won, you just gave in. You gave in. Remember last week I said, are you going to be able to stand there in front of somebody who may not be a Christian, who may be Muslim, getting ready to kill you, right? Do away with you? Are you going to be able to stand there and profess Christ? Or are you going to throw your hands up and renounce? Pretty much the same thing. Are you going to do it or not? In John 16:33, Jesus explicitly says, in this world, you will have trouble. And, I'm going to challenge you. Find me somewhere where Jesus says, this is going to be an easy peasy life. Everything will be handed to you, and it will just all be trouble-free. That's not what he said. He says, in this world, you will have trouble. Look it up, John 16:33. But take heart. I have overcome the world. See, he has the victory. So be encouraged. Be encouraged. Fight the good fight of faith. And resist the temptation to just throw up your hands and give up. Because it is tempting. I'm going to tell you, I've done it many times before. It is very tempting. Fight the good fight of faith and resist the temptation to give up. When we give up, guess what? We lose. We lose. Robbie Gallaty says in Growing Up, How to Be a Disciple Who Makes Disciples, he says this, when the church becomes an end in itself, it ends. It ends. When Sunday school, as great as it is, becomes an end in itself, it ends. When small groups ministry becomes an end in itself, it ends. When the worship service becomes an end in itself, it ends. What we need is for discipleship to become the goal. And then the process never ends. The process is fluid. It's moving. It's active. It's a living thing. And it must continue to go on. And he ends here by saying, every disciple must make disciples. Every disciple must make disciples. Remember, discipleship is not just about conversation, or I'm sorry, it's not just about conversion. It's not just about that. It's about transformation. See, God does a work on the person, transforms them. I am not the same person that I used to be before I was saved. Praise God, because you would not like me at all. One thing I was doing, you know, witchcraft. Definitely wouldn't want to be around me. So that's the thing, is he is in the business of transforming lives, transforming hearts. It's not about the conversion. It's about the transformation. It's about helping people become more like Christ in their thoughts, in their words. I told many of you, before I was transformed, I mean, the Lord transformed me big time. My normal conversation, every other word was a four-letter word. I can use four-letter words to make a sentence. That's how bad my language was. That's what he does. He transforms every part of the person. He helps them become more like Christ in their actions. I mean, forgiveness? Forget about that. There was no way that word would have ever come out of my mouth. See, this process takes time. It takes time. You're not transformed, you know, boom. There's a process that happens. Yeah, my words, it happened, boom. But there's other things that are still continuing on that God is transforming. I mean, like I said, you know, I've done the I give up before. I'm done with this. It can be frustrating, the process. Gotta have patience. Gotta have patience. This is why it's so important to remember that we have Jesus with us every step of the way. He is there. Are we acknowledging him? That he's there? Are we recognizing that he's with us? We need him. And as Jesus said in John 15:5, apart from me, you can do nothing. Nothing. There's no lasting reproduction without Christ and without the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Now, making disciples is not just about increasing the number of believers. It's about producing genuine followers of Christ who are committed to living out his teachings in their daily lives. It's about helping people experience the life-changing power of the gospel and become agents of their change in their communities and the world. It's about changing the world. Reproducing followers of Christ is not just about increasing the number of Christians. It's about nurturing. Moms, you know what nurturing is. Amen? I'm going to say that to moms because moms know it's like it's something in them that they know how to nurture. It's in them. But it's about nurturing individuals that become disciples who live out the teachings of Jesus in their daily lives. This means that they not only believe in Christ, but also strive to follow his example and teachings. It's about creating a ripple effect where each disciple goes on to make more disciples, thus spreading the word of God and his love throughout the world. And I've seen this. There was a church, and I can't remember what church it was, but they did this. The pastor called up different, you know, one person, and that person brought up two more, and those two people that they discipled brought up more, and those people that discipled brought up more. And by the time they were finished, they had the entire church up there. There was a lot of people. But that's how it works. Each one disciple one. Each one continuing to live out what Jesus commanded us to do. This process is how we change the world. Starting right here in North Pole. Right here in our own community. Tristan, go ahead and put that our mission statement up there, and then I'll ask you to put the vision statement up. So let's go ahead and read our mission statement. North Pole Church of the Nazarene lives to love God, love others, speak biblical truth, and develop servants for Jesus Christ. And the vision? Right. It starts right here. Starts right here. Now, if we're traveling to different places, guess what your job is? It's the same as it is here. As soon as you get on that plane, that's what your job is. As soon as you get off the plane and you're going to your hotel, guess what your job is? I go to check into a hotel. How am I going to minister to the desk clerk? Well, one way is, how can I pray for you today? You know, if you ask that question, I would say 9.9 times out of 10, you're probably not going to get turned down. There's a lot of people that love prayer. I can tell you this, I've been into banks and I've asked and they wanted it. I've been into restaurants, asked the waitress, and they wanted prayer. Man, what a way to reach others. Simple to pray, right? As I mentioned in week one, David Platt said, making disciples of Jesus is the overflow of the delight in being disciples of Jesus. This is a challenging quote, which begs the further question, are you overflowing with delight? Are you overflowing with delight? Have you stopped to recently consider the fact that if you are in Christ and a disciple of Christ, then you are a fellow member of the kingdom of heaven. You are a part of a royal priesthood. You are called gifted and anointed to be his ambassador to a broken and hurting world. Man, the other day I'm going to tell you, the other day, this was great. You know, I mean, I was already, you know, grateful to be there. It was an awesome time bringing light into a dark event. It was awesome. And I start to leave, and Nanette and I are walking out. And of course, Nanette knows that if I see somebody, what happens? So, I have the gift of gab. I know that. So, what happened was there was a pastor that I know, and I'm not going to say names, that was there. And I was like, whoa! You know, and I addressed him by his name. And, you know, first he called me, and then I addressed him. And he's like, what are you doing here? And I proceeded to tell him what I was doing. He was like, they allowed you to do that here? I said, yeah. I said, did you know the owner's a Christian? Really? I was like, yeah. The owner's a Christian. It's like, you know how I found that out? I had a conversation with her. I found out all sorts of things about, you know, the owner. It's like, you know, when you talk to people, you build this relationship. And it's interesting what you can learn. Yeah, they had a Halloween event there. She was a Christian, and she allowed me to come in and bring tracts and the life books in, which are for the teenagers. They're directed to lead them to Christ. I just found it awesome, you know, that I was able to witness not only to him, but to the others that were there. You know, because sometimes you witness to other people. You witness to other Christians, pastors. You know, the other day, someone was on there talking about Halloween and all this, and boy, you should hear pastors. There are some that are like, and I know I was there. I'm not saying that I've never been there, because I have been. I've been totally against, but when the Lord spoke to me in the past month or so, I'm like, he's trying to tell me, I'm the light that expels the darkness. You're my tool. Bring the light in. I was like, duh, could have had a V8, right? But really, we miss it by a mile a lot. Being a disciple of Christ is an honor and a privilege. I am so grateful what Christ has done in my life. I don't ever want to go back. I don't want to fall away. I have no desire to be in that past life. At all. Zero. And I am reminded daily of what that was like. I do not want to go back. Not a good thing. Being a disciple of Christ is an honor and privilege. It's an invitation to something bigger and more amazing than most any of us could ever, ever imagine. Disciples create disciples. And now, I'm going to challenge you, or some of you may have already been challenged, I don't know. But I went ahead and I got a bunch of journals. So these journals, when I hand these out, number one, they're for those that are being discipled and those that are disciplers. Okay? So if you're discipling somebody, I'll give you two. And what you're to do with that, very important in disciple making. Not only are you reading the word together, not only are you showing them things in God's word and what he says and leading by the example in your life, but then you're also directing them to write things down. Because you know what? When you don't write things down, and I don't know about you, but I'm 61 years old. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm getting there. All right. I tell my grandson all the time, he goes, how old are you? And I go, I'm older than dirt. So now he knows I'm older than dirt. Right? And he goes, Pap, are you older than dirt? Yep, I'm older than dirt. So he always checks in with me. But when you get to be my age, sometimes you forget things a lot. Like today, I had to go back to the house like three times, I think it was, or something, because I forgot something. And I said, oh, yeah, I got it. So the first time I forgot something, I said, oh, okay, I got to remember that and that and that. Well, guess what? I forgot half the list. So I had to go back, and I forgot again. And I had to go back. We forget things, right? Journaling is a good way to write down prayer requests, answered prayer, what God has talked to you about in Scripture, right? You're reading Scripture, so you're reading, you know, in Isaiah 6. You guys all know what Isaiah 6 is? It's the call of Isaiah. It's like his calling, when God called him. Okay. So that's a time to write how God is speaking to you through the Scriptures, what you're learning. Okay. Plus other things. I mean, you bumped into someone at the store and you prayed for them. Write it down, right? I mean, that's a victory. That's huge. Write down your trials. How God got you through your trials. That's amazing, right? So, now, these have, I'm going to lay them out here, and you guys can come and get whatever. But they all have different verses on here. And it's just, you know, a plain old journal. It's not nothing fancy or anything like that. They got fancier ones out there, but they're nice. And it's always a way to continue to lead you guys, disciple you to disciple others. Amen. Let's go ahead. Here's some more. And when I'm going to end here real quick, and we're going to pray. And then after prayer, you guys can come up and whichever one you want. You got someone you're discipling, pick one up for them. You know, and I'm going to tell you, those in Celebrate Recovery, your sponsors, just saying, disciple maker. Amen? And what's the other one? You get your sponsors and your accountability partner. There you go. Another one. Okay. You know, what does the accountability partner do? An accountability partner holds you accountable for your actions, right? Says, man, what are you doing? I thought you were trying to stay away from that stuff. We gotta go this direction. We don't want to go that direction. We gotta go towards Christ, not away. You know, your sponsor, same thing. So here's the journals up here. I'll put this one down. I just opened this one up so that I could see. Anyway, we'll put it here. But we're going to go ahead and conclude. You know, that's a good way to get started in discipling others is to take them through a time of journaling. Together, you can do that. Right? So as we wrap up our series and move forward with some practical steps in hand, let's remember that we're not just called to be followers of Christ. That, you know, coming in here on Sunday morning is not the goal. The goal's out there. The goal is out there. Yeah, we got to learn. Yeah, we need to worship. Yeah, we need to grow closer to Christ. But the goal is out there. The mission, that's the mission field. See, above our door it says, you are now entering the mission field. As you leave that door, as you leave this building and walk outside, you're entering into the mission field. So we're not just called to be followers of Christ, but we're also called to make followers of Christ. We're called to participate. Actually, we're commissioned to participate in the greatest building project of all time, the building of the church, the capital C church. Okay. The one where Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not overcome it. Matthew 16:18. It's a massive task with eternal consequence, but we're not in it alone. We've got each other. Amen? We've got each other, guys. And most importantly, we've got Jesus with all his authority and all of heaven along with him. So what are we waiting for? Let the discipling begin. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we As we conclude our Discipled Sermon Series, we come before you with grateful hearts, filled with a renewed sense of purpose and commitment. We thank you for the profound insights and teachings we have received during this series, reminding us of the significance of discipleship in our journey of faith. We acknowledge, Lord, that being a disciple of Christ is not merely about following a set of rules or doctrines, but it's about a holistic and life-transforming relationship with our master teacher. We are called to imitate his life, inculcate his values, and reproduce his teachings in the world. We're reminded of the Great Commission, the divine mandate to make disciples of all nations. We understand that this is not a task that we can accomplish on our own, but we rely on your divine authority and your presence with us every step of the way. Lord, we're aware of the challenges and the opposition we face in making disciples and spreading the gospel in a broken world. Yet we take heart in your promise that you have overcome the world. And we're not alone in this mission. Help us to remember that discipleship is not just about converting people to Christianity, but about nurturing their faith, helping them grow spiritually, and equipping them to live out their faith daily. We pray that you give us the patience, the dedication, and the love necessary for this lifelong journey. We also recognize the significance of baptism, which signifies our commitment to follow Christ wholeheartedly and our identification with his death, burial, and resurrection. Lord, as we move forward, may we continually seek your guidance and rely on the power of the Holy Spirit to fulfill our calling. We desire to be true disciples who make more disciples, changing the world one person at a time, helping us to overflow with delight in being disciples of Jesus, recognizing the honor and the privilege it is to be part of his kingdom and to be his ambassadors to a broken and hurting world. As we conclude this series and embark on our disciple-making journey, we pray for your wisdom, your strength, and encouragement. May we be diligent in living out the teachings of Christ and sharing his love with others, thus building his church and advancing his kingdom. In Jesus' powerful and matchless name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have a fantastic week. And Lord be with you all.